Good morning. Nice to see everybody today. Well, according to the bulletin, I love the lady that does the bulletin. Love her to death. Good looking blonde. But according to the bulletin, it says the sermon is Bruce Eubank. So I was born May 2nd, 1959 in Del City, Oklahoma. But the lesson today, I was actually there. I saw her type the scripture in, and I saw her type the name of the sermon in. I don't know where it went. It just vanished. But anyway, one more thing I wanted to announce. It just dawned on me. Tonight is our fifth Sunday singing, so we'll have a number of songs and some scripture readings tonight, so just wanted to inform you of that, remind you of that. Help if I'd get the right one. We're going to look today at the baptism of Jesus. And it is found in Matthew 3. What I would like to do is read this passage real quick. I want us to kind of focus on not only the event, but I'd like for us to look at who all was there, who was impacted by this event. So if you'd like to read along, we'll be in Matthew 3, starting in verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' And John himself was clothed in camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'Brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. Then Jesus, when he had been baptized, came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." A wonderful passage there. I'd like for us to look at this baptism of Jesus, who was there, and how they were impacted by this event. One, obviously, that was there was Jesus himself. And in this passage, we see Jesus humbled. We see Jesus obedient to God. And as always, being an example. Everything that Jesus did, he was an example. Just the fact that Jesus was there, that he humbled himself to leave the presence of God in heaven, to come to earth, to be obedient to God, and to fulfill all righteousness. That shows an awful lot of Jesus. In verses 13 and 14, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me?' And then in 15, "But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him." Jesus was always wanting to fulfill and was single-mindedly focused on fulfilling the righteousness and fulfilling the duty that he had of his Father in heaven. And I find it interesting that he instructs John, "It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." That he reminds John, this is part of the Father's plan. We need to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed him to be baptized. Mark 16 says, verse 16, in another passage, it was Jesus who said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Jesus shows not only in teaching, but in example, the importance of baptism. Jesus never instructed or didn't require anything of anybody else that he himself wasn't willing and did do. When he told people that if you want to be my disciples, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. He didn't tell them to do anything that he wasn't willing to do. So when he says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved," he gave them not only the teaching verbally, but he gave them the example because he had done it. Another person that was here at this baptism was John the Baptizer. John himself displayed humbleness. And he displayed the fact that he was bold. I love how early in the chapter it described him wearing camel's leather and a leather belt, and he ate locusts and honey. Makes me look pretty good, don't it? You know, I'm a little on the casual side, but I'm a little bit spiffier than John the Baptist. Plus, I mean, I like biscuits and gravy and stuff like that. But I like honey. I don't think I've ever tried locusts. But we see that John was a very humble man. to have such a following of hundreds, possibly thousands, that were coming out to him, he was yet still humble. It didn't go to his head, but yet he was bold in his addressing the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In verse 11, we see, but he is proclaiming Jesus, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He had quite a following, but it was never about John. It was always about Jesus. He's preparing the way to people for Jesus. Don't look at me, look at Jesus. He was preparing the way so people would know who Jesus was. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's close. It's within reach. It's not here yet. Unfortunately, John will not get to live to see it coming. But it was at hand. It was close. Verse 14 says, and John tried to prevent him from being baptized, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? John was humble. He recognized Jesus for who he was. It's not, we see here, it's not so much about the person that's doing the baptizing. Paul addressed that in 1 Corinthians. Some people were saying, oh, I was baptized by Paul. I was baptized by Apollos. That doesn't matter. Who you're baptized, it's what you're being baptized into. Who baptizes you doesn't matter. John is saying, I'm nobody and I'm baptizing you. You're the Son of God. You are the Lamb of God, and I'm baptizing you. Jesus says, let's fulfill all righteousness, you and me. Let us fulfill righteousness. Verse 7 and 8, we see how bold John was. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers. He's calling them snakes. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. I wonder who the last person was that had ever talked to them like that. Probably their parents when they were children. Because nobody, when they were scribes and or when they were Pharisees and Sadducees, probably nobody addressed them like that. And here John is saying, you're snakes. You brood of vipers. And he says, who warned you? Basically, I told you so. You know, nobody likes to hear, I told you so. And John is telling them, I told you so. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? I have been preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, for some time now. You've been coming out watching this stuff and you haven't been baptized. You haven't repented of your sins. Therefore, you bear fruit worthy of repentance. That's bold talk. Coming from a guy wearing camel fur and a leather belt to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In John 3, not Matthew 3, but in John 3, John makes a paramount proclamation where he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. That shows you that humility, that it's not about John. It's about Jesus. Everything John was doing was to prepare people for the coming Messiah. This is the first prophet for 400 years. The first prophet in over 400 years. And he is preparing the way for Jesus, the Son of God. The witnesses were there. You had the multitudes. You had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In those multitudes were the future disciples of Jesus. In John 1, we see that Peter, Andrew, Philip, and Nathanael had been disciples of John. They were witnessing this. These witnesses saw not only Jesus' example, but they saw the example of Jesus being baptized. They saw his humility, the Son of God submitting to God's will. I'm the Son of God. I can do whatever I want. Everything Jesus did was to submit to God the Father's will. They saw the example of John the Baptist, and they witnessed the presence of God Himself. In verse 5 and 6, it says, "Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to Him, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins." This is no small group. These are the people from the entire region has been coming out listening to John preach. They were there when John baptized Jesus. Verse 7, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he warned them." Called them brood of vipers. It says, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" They were witnesses of this. They not only got a little verbal tongue lashing here by John, but they got to witness Jesus, who many of them were in favor of his crucifixion 3 years later. They saw him being baptized. And they also were there, and suddenly a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I wonder if that ever went through any of their minds when they were deciding to crucify him. Those Pharisees that had witnessed the baptism of Jesus. And of course, there was God. But yet, He's always present. He's present at every event, at all times. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It's the same thing that those disciples would hear, Peter, James, and John, at the Transfiguration. When they were at the Transfiguration later on in Jesus' ministry, and they were there and they witnessed this, and the voice saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Hey, we've heard that before. And then God, at the Transfiguration, God also said, "Hear him. You listen to him." What an impact this must have been to have. They were in the presence of the first prophet in 400 years. They were in the presence of the Son of God. And they were in the presence of God himself. All at this event. What I glean, this is me, you may come up with other things from this passage. Some of the things I come up with is we need to be baptized. Jesus himself gave us the example to be baptized. He said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's good enough for me. God will be present when we're baptized. He was present when we were baptized, just like he was present when Jesus, his son, was baptized. And he is just as pleased. When we put our Lord on in baptism, when we came into contact with Christ's blood, God was there. If you have not put your Lord on in baptism, you have an opportunity to do so today. And God will be there. And God will be pleased in your obedience. And just like Jesus influenced others, who knows who we may influence through our baptism, through the act itself of showing obedience, or the fact of when we become a Christian, who we may teach. These are some of the things that I've gathered from this. You may have picked up on some other things. Anyway, if we always like to offer the invitation before we dismiss an assembly, if you need to be baptized, there's no better time than right now if you haven't. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent, just like John told the Pharisees, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Don't just say, yeah, I'm sorry. Bear fruits showing that you've repented. If you've been searching for a church home and have maybe looked at some of the congregations in town and would like to work and worship with us, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, please come forward, let your need be known while we stand and sing, and we will address your needs. Let's stand and sing.